I don't suppose Keith Skipper ever gets to Stowmarket, as he's a firm Norfolk resident. This month he reflected on the days of travel when he was a lad. Here is Dorothy with news of bicycles, steam trains, Swaffham, and, I believe, Dorothy's own passion, cricket.
A sensibly integrated transport system blessed our country routes when I was a lad. Of course, we didn't need to travel so far in those days. In any case, it was more fun waiting for Danes, Vikings and itinerants from Norwich Way to fall foul of our labyrinth of lanes and lokes. Now and again, we admitted the war might be over and turned signposts around to give reasonable directions. But a sudden gust in the night could cause havoc in the morning if a new lorry driver was collecting full milk churns from outlying farms. Curdled tempers down yesterday's drifts surely opened a path to road rage antics of today. Walking and cycling were the main means of getting around the parish and a few miles beyond, although pony and trap limbered on as a colourful alternative, especially among small-time dealers and full-time imbibers. Some relied on sheer animal instinct to deliver them home safely after a lengthy session at the bar. It's been claimed, with some justification, that our shrewdest four-legged friends played a key role in supporting the rural pubs network before the age of breathalysers and crowded roads. Hospitality at a canter. There was a regular bus service into town for shoppers and workers during the week and for fleshpot seekers on Saturday night. Carter's Coaches of Litcham widened many mid-Norfolk horizons before and after the Festival of Britain. Even if Heights of Deering rested on singing alternative lyrics to the latest Guy Mitchell hit on the back seat returning from the Sunshine Floor in Dereham. When I became first boy in the village to pass the 11-plus examination, an achievement not entirely unrelated to the fact I was the first boy in the village to have a pencil, a double delight eased my trail to faraway Swaffham. The educational authorities provided me with my first proper bike to eat up miles between the old homestead and Frensham railway station, where I caught the appropriate train when punctures, powerful headwinds and test matches did not intervene. The last mention could play havoc with my timetable as England's brave cricketers reached a crucial stage in the series and demanded my undivided attention. Thursday morning afflictions reached a seasonal peak in July. I forced myself out of bed to twiddle wireless knobs and check our accumulators just before play started. My outstanding run of 11:28 a.m. recoveries mocked all known medical knowledge but owed much to my dear mother's cheerful refusal to become a slave to clock or calendar. She never noticed uncanny coincidences linking her stricken boy to fresh international showdowns. For the first term of 7 grammar school years, I savoured timeless joys of steam train travel. It would have been more wonderful if bigger boys hadn't seen fit to tie the tiddler to the luggage rack in hope of rendering him slightly taller by the end of the journey. Perhaps I should have biked all the way to Swaffham and back.
Thank you, Dorothy. I hope you understood why Keith Skipper only listened to cricket until 11:25 in the morning.